The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
As you just heard, Mark Pope is the new coach for Kentucky men's basketball. Think about what you've seen in the last week. You've seen one of the biggest names in college basketball walk away from one of the biggest brands in all of sports. And you've seen that sport desperately cling to try and find a coach to replace him. And through all of that, what have we learned? College sports are better than ever. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Think about what it's been in college sports, in college basketball for a generation. What's a blue blood? Who's a blue blood? And what's it mean to be one? Well, what it's meant for an entire generation is that if you were one of the select few, you got what you wanted. If you were one of the few schools that had that brand equity, you got who you wanted. You got the players you wanted. You got the coaches you wanted. You had the money you wanted. You always had the facilities you wanted. You wanted for nothing. And as a result, what do we see year in and year out? This isn't even just a college basketball conversation. This is a college sports conversation. Because if we now live in a world where a coach at Kentucky will leave by choice to go to Arkansas for basketball, and then Kentucky will be left scrambling, backing up a Brinks truck to a Connecticut coach that says, nah, I'm good. I don't want anything to do with that. Then taking that Brinks truck all the way down to Baylor and saying, please, sir, we want you to come. And somebody saying, no, I'm happy at Baylor. I don't need Kentucky. They had to go through the list. We're not talking about Kentucky's first choice. We're not talking about their second choice. Might not even be talking about their third choice. And what we're reminded through in all of that is you can have all the money in the world. You can have all the brand equity in the world. You can be the blue blood that everybody resonates with. And in today's college basketball, that doesn't necessarily give you an edge up. See, everybody's sitting here telling you why college sports are dying. Everybody's sitting here telling you why the model's not sustainable. Everybody wants to tell you it's killing the game that we love. Is it? Because let's look at college basketball right now. Who are the three most dominant teams in college basketball this year throughout the course of the entire regular season? Houston, Purdue, Connecticut. You know what name I didn't say there? I didn't say North Carolina. I didn't say Duke. I didn't say Kentucky. Didn't say Kansas. We're talking about non-traditional powerhouses rising. And how do they rise? They rise because in today's college sports world, it's finally going to be the type of world where if you want it, you can get it. Because NILs and collectives, for all the conversation we want to have of how bad it is and what, oh my God, I can't believe amateurism is lost in sports like it ever really existed. But furthermore, I don't care. Can't take the toothpaste to put it back in the tube. It's out. So now what? Now, every single school that wants to be competitive can be. Now, every single school that wants to find the money to put themselves in the class of the elite can do it. And now all of a sudden, talent is spread out. Look at college football. If you look at the top recruits in college football over the course of the last 2 years, we've seen those recruits spread out to more schools than ever each of the last 2 years. Why? Because now you can go a million different places. Look at college football coaches. Nick Saban leaves. All of a sudden, Alabama scrambles to figure out what's going to happen there. And Washington figures out they got to scramble to figure out what's going to happen there. Happen to be good buddies with Lance Leipold, the Kansas football head coach. I watched all of that from the sides with my fingers just dancing, thinking, oh, I'm going to watch my buddy go wherever he wants. What did he do? State of Kansas. Why? Because you don't have to go somewhere else now to make it to the big time. Every school can make a decision to compete. Every school can make a decision to become involved in investing in players. Every school can decide every single year how much they're willing to put in. And every school on their own can decide if the rate of investment, the return, I should say, of investment is worth it. It's a Doug Gottlieb show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in for Doug. And think about this. Think about what we're saying here. I grew up a UNLV basketball fan. I'm sitting here in a UNLV hoodie doing this with the Larry Johnson jersey behind me, right? Like, UNLV is in my blood, always has been. Now, when I was a little kid in the late 80s, early 90s, the concept that UNLV would ever not be competitive just seems like it's far-fetched. There's no way. There's no way. Well, UNLV hasn't been sustainably good for a long time. Can they be? Sure. Now you can get what you want. You just got to find a way to earn it. You just got to find a way to put it together. If you're in a shiny city like Vegas, you got to go to all the casinos. You got to go to all the Maloof family, the rich money that's in that city. And you got to figure out if people want to make basketball a priority. And I say figure out because that's part of the gold in all of this. Each school can figure out what they give a damn about. I lived in Nashville for more than 20 years. And my first gig in this business was doing morning radio on an ESPN radio affiliate in Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember talking at the time to Vanderbilt's athletic director and asking when Vandy was going to invest in football. And the answer I got, I'll never forget. The athletic director looked at me without hesitation at the time and said, never, our kids don't care. And there was a real poignant moment to that of saying, hey, if the kids going to school here don't really care about football, then why should I put all of these resources towards it? Now, we don't like that as a fan. Like, everybody as a fan sits back and says, well, you have to invest in it. No, you don't. Now every school can decide. And now, just being a brand isn't good enough. Coach Cal is going to go to Arkansas, and he's taking his entire coaching staff with him. So what does that mean? It means Arkansas is about to get very good, but it also means that Arkansas is not going to be good enough to win an Natty, because we all realize that's part of the conversation of why he wore out his welcome in Kentucky. But also, he's in Arkansas. I've spent time around Arkansas. It's different there. Basketball hits different there. It's okay to say basketball hits different in different schools. I'll go back to Connecticut. Hurley just wins the national championship. The name of the restaurant he goes to in Hartford is Salulitas. Goes there all the time after big wins, gets himself a margarita. When I was with ESPN, I lived about 10 minutes from Salulitas. You could stand outside the door on a regular weeknight, stand outside waiting to get a table for an hour. Hurley's there, stand outside waiting to get a regular table for an hour. Doesn't make a difference. Right? Like, he can sit there with his family unbothered, have a meal. He's dirty rich doing it. He can be a national championship coach with a national championship team, and he can get back-to-back titles. He become only the third team ever to win back-to-back championship games by 15 or more points. He can sit there and build on a back-to-back with a realistic shot at a three-peat, and he can do it all without having to worry about what anybody says to him when he's walking down the street. Because I'm telling you, they're not bothering Hurley. in Kentucky. You think that's the case? You think being good is good enough for Kentucky? No, it isn't. But guess what? Now coaches have options. Now players have options. Now they can go wherever they want to do whatever they want, and they can make it however they want. And that, my friends, is a golden age for college sports, where you can't simply rely on the fact that you're Big Blue Nation. Nobody gives a damn anymore. Think about that. You can't walk into the room to a recruit and just swag around and say, we're Kentucky basketball. Walking into the living room like you're Vince McMahon walking down the aisle for WWE. Ain't nobody blinking an eye at that. You can't walk in the room and say, well, we've got more money, because what have we just learned? Even if you have more money, not everybody wants it. Whether you're a player or a coach, you're looking around and saying, nah, I got other options. I can get to the NBA a lot of ways. I can get to a national championship a lot of ways. And if the objective is to win and to do it with quality of life, you absolutely can do that, possibly easier. You can do that anywhere not named Kentucky. You can't tell me at the end of the day that monotony doesn't get boring. At some point, knowing which brands are going to be in it, knowing which brands aren't. At some point, looking around the entire landscape and saying, oh, college football, here we go again. This year coming into the season, everybody thought college football was going to be boring because we always get the same couple of teams fighting for a championship. Where's the drama? Right? Right? At some point, so many of the people that are screaming from the mountaintops about the death of college sports are not acknowledging the actual facts in this situation. The actual facts are that ratings are up everywhere. The actual facts are that money is up everywhere. And the actual facts show you more players have better opportunities to play than ever. They have agency to invest in themselves and do it however they want to, whenever they want to, wherever they want to, and they can win doing it. If you're telling me college sports are dying, and I'm fully aware, I am not stupid. I listen to Doug. I am aware of the fact that I am on the exact opposite side of what you usually hear from Doug Gottlieb on this show in this time slot. And I'm telling you, Doug is wrong. Because if you're telling me that college sports has an issue, you're not looking at the fact that more people are consuming it. You're not looking at the fact that more people are making money off of it. You're not looking at the fact that more people are getting opportunity. And for the first time, we're getting unprecedented results that are not predictable. That's what people want. Sports were the original reality TV show. Right? And what happens on reality TV shows? Everybody wants drama. Sure, you want a star. But after a while, you want drama. You don't want your stars to get along. You want your stars arguing with each other. You want something you can flock to. You want to see Caitlin versus Angel. We all saw it. You want to see Caitlin versus Dawn Staley. We all saw it. You want to see drama. You want to see unpredictability. You want to see all of these things that for a period of time, college sports wasn't giving us. But they're giving it to us now. They're giving it to us in the results that we see on the field. They're giving it to us in the results we see on the court. I was there. I stood on that court after Connecticut won the championship. I stood in that stadium and I watched Purdue fans for the first time in 55 years watch their team going for a national championship. I talked to them afterwards and hearing the joy in their voice for a magical season, knowing that they were taken down by a juggernaut. And that juggernaut wasn't named Duke. That juggernaut wasn't named Kansas. That juggernaut wasn't named Kentucky. It was UConn. I'm looking around at a landscape in college sports, and I'm telling you right now, if it's less predictable than ever, if players are going to more places than ever to play, that means more great athletes are getting a shot to be their best. If coaches are deciding that they'd rather not leave different places, if coaches are deciding that they're comfortable where they are, all of a sudden, it's no longer just a race to try and get to second best, knowing full well that the Blue Bloods will always win. Because at the end of the day, the blue blood that we know, we can argue whether Connecticut's a blue blood now, but the blue blood that we know, the brands that we acknowledge all the time, didn't win that championship. That brand that gets whatever they want didn't keep their coach. And that brand, when they went back to market to try and replace, didn't get their first option. Didn't get their second option. Maybe didn't even get their third option. And maybe it works out. But the one thing we know without question is that right now, college sports are better than ever. Coming up next on the Fox Live from the TireRack.com studios, Doug Gottlieb Show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in. It's the most overrated weekend in sports. It's the Masters. I'll tell you why it's all overhyped next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich. Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trust is incredibly difficult to get. It's incredibly easy to lose. And it makes transparency more and more important, especially when we talk about difficult issues around gambling and sports. And we have to remember through all of this, there are different layers. And benefit of the doubt is something that maybe Major League Baseball doesn't deserve. But last time I checked, the Department of Justice does. And that is key for every conversation we have about Shohei Ohtani. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Doug. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. A rush to judgment. Stop me if you've heard this before. In life. A rush to form opinions. A rush of how could he? Well, he had to have. It must mean. The amount of times that we simply decide what makes sense because we're using our own life, our own experiences, and our own logic, and then we're wrong is stunning, but it never stops us from doing it. It's called confirmation bias. It's something that if you talk to prosecutors at a high level, you talk to juries, you talk to people around legal issues, they'll tell you all the time that confirmation bias is essentially saying, this is the outcome I think makes the most sense. So I'm going to stack all the bricks to make that outcome happen because it's what makes the most sense to me. And it's exactly what we've been dealing with from day one when it comes to Shohei. Everybody heard the same thing. Oh my gosh, his translator. Well, he must be taking the fall. There's no way a translator was taking money from him. There's no way the money could leave his accountant. He wouldn't know. There's absolutely no way any of this could be true. Based on what? How often do we see, unfortunately, seniors that are taken advantage of by con artists that take all of their money and leave them with absolutely nothing? And we sit there and we say, how could you? It happens all the time. We can't make it make sense. I can tell you fairly definitively, I've been lucky enough in my life to interact with people that have made a lot of money. And almost every one of those people has a small group that does have access to accounts, that would have the ability, if they wanted to do terrible things, to do them. But we never wanted to pause and at least figure out if that made sense. And even from the outset, it was, well, how can they let Shohei get near the pitcher's mound? Now, how can they let him get near a baseball? How can we let him have a single at bat? You can't let him have anything to do with the game. He certainly must have bet on it. Based on what? How many times do we have to sit down and have the same conversation as a society about maybe it's better to get it right than get it first? How many times do we have to sit down as a society and say, hey, let's let this play out before we make big sweeping generalizations? And now, how many times do we have to turn around and beg people to listen to actual information when they made up their minds? See, here's the thing. Conspiracy theorists, all these things. Like, look, I'll be loud and proud on this. I don't give a damn about your conspiracy theories. I don't care if we never walked on the moon. Doesn't change my Friday. I don't. I don't care if you believe all of these things, the government's up to this and they're trying to take that. I don't care. Y'all, nothing I'm going to do is going to change any of that. Nothing I'm going to do is going to impact any of that. And whatever any of that means isn't going to change my Friday. So my reality is my reality. I'm just going to live it. You can call it blind ignorance if you want. I don't care. But where I'm right and where it affords me more luxury is that when information starts to come out, I don't immediately have to make somebody the bad guy. How many people from the outset were convinced that Shohei did everything wrong and that Major League Baseball would just cover it all up? That's why I'm glad personally that the Department of Justice got involved. That's why I'm glad this became a criminal investigation. And then think of all the people that from the beginning said, well, Shohei won't answer these questions. I mean, have they brought charges? Are they doing these things? I don't know if anybody's ever been involved in criminal investigations before, but less is more. The less you say, the better. Look, I watch Law and Order all the time. Now, from a personal life standpoint, my brother served 7 years for possession with the intent to distribute. So certainly I grew up around understanding the way the prison system works and understanding somewhat some of the legal system. But let's just go all the way down to just Law and Order, right? I watch Law and Order all the time. What's the first thing you learn if you're watching Law and Order? Don't say anything. Nothing. There is not a... Like, look, I'm just telling you, if everybody I love disappeared and the cops walked into my house and said, where are they? The first thing I'd say is lawyer. Why? Because I've watched enough Law and Order. I just don't want to get something pinned on me. It's not even a conspiracy. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I want to get a lawyer and then have a lawyer help me through everything. That doesn't mean I'm innocent. Doesn't mean I'm guilty. It just means that I watched enough Law and Order to be scared of everything. I'm a coward. Okay? So you're Shohei. You just found out the person you trust the most is taking millions of dollars from you. Not uncommon in the acting world, not uncommon in the entertainment world, but seems uncommon in sports. He's taken millions of dollars from you. The person you trusted the most has stolen from you. And not just a little bit of money. A lot of money. Now all of a sudden we're analyzing everything he says, everything he does, everything he did, everything he didn't do. All for what? As you heard in the beginning, the former interpreter, Ipe, accused of stealing more than $16 million over 2 years, has been booked. Federal authorities are involved, and that's where this becomes important. Because he's being charged with actual real crimes. Bank fraud carries a maximum fine of up to $1 million and or up to 30 years in prison, according to federal sentencing guidelines. Also, U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada said Thursday there's no evidence Ohtani had any knowledge of Missouri's gambling activities or his use of his bank account to pay his bills. Imagine that. Imagine everything that we have wasted time saying, presuming that absolutely it must be this, only to find out that the U.S. attorney, and that you think they're protecting baseball? You think the Department of Justice is out here worried about what happens to a baseball star? No. They're not. They're just doing their jobs. At this point, they're just doing their jobs. And so what do we know? We know, according to the charges at this point, that from all of the evidence they've been able to find, which includes texts and phone calls, it includes all sorts of information from coding. If you go out and I read the whole affidavit, and it's pretty alarming when you start to read it, how much encrypted technology was used and how much they're actually analyzing all of the communication that was happening. And from everything they've analyzed, they can find no indication that Ipe bet on any baseball, number one. They can also find no indication that Shohei had any idea. So now what do you have? You're one of the greatest stars of his current generation in sports, all of sports, not just baseball, that has had somebody incredibly close to him take massive amounts of money. Massive amounts of money. It's not uncommon for many musicians when they're starting to make it to sort of get a business manager, and that business manager helps you through everything. It's not uncommon. That business manager has access to your accounts, and then every few months you sit down with that business manager and you go over your accounts. You're supposed to. I know a lot of guys that aren't great at that. It gets really confusing and complicated when you start talking about financials and all these things, and you sort of got to trust the people that you hire. So what do? If the person you trust the most, because you're just not good with handling all that, is the one that's out here doing all this behind your back, you feel stupid. You feel used. You feel like the person that you relied on the most has let you down. And through all of it now, everybody that watches your sport, covers your sport, thinks about your sport, has decided that you're actually a bad guy doing the one thing that you cannot do. You're betting on your sport. We spent weeks saying the name Pete Rose and Shohei Ohtani in the same sentence with absolutely no evidence. We spent weeks associating one of the worst things you can do in sports, specifically in sports, particularly we all know there are plenty of people in sports that have done terrible things in life. But when it comes to just on the field, betting on sports when you're an athlete gives everybody the heebie-jeebies. And we immediately presume the worst, the sort of offense that would keep Shohei off of a baseball field, keep Shohei out of our concepts of baseball. We presumed the absolute worst at every step. Why? Because we applied our own personal logic to a situation we knew nothing about. Yet we've learned nothing from it because we'll do it again next time. And I'm not lecturing. I'm not talking down to anybody. I've been part of the problem. Certainly. We all have. I guess the question is, when do we just default to being human beings in these situations? When do we default to letting things play out? When, as a culture do we actually decide that we believe in innocent until proven guilty? When do we decide that the information we have today doesn't have to create a hot take? It doesn't have to create a news story? It can simply create analysis based solely on what we know right now. I say it all the time. One of the most interesting things about what we do in sports talk is we are asked genuinely to write a book report after every chapter of a book. Thing of it is, I can't come on radio or do any of my work with Yahoo Sports and decide that I'm not going to say anything about football season or college football until it's over. That would make me bad at my job. So as a result, I have to take the information we have, week one results, figure out what we're going to talk about for the next 30, 40 hours of content we're making that week. What are our takeaways, right? After 2 weeks, might look a little different. What are our takeaways? After 5 weeks, what are our takeaways? This is a process. So we're forced to write a book report every single week when it comes to what we're seeing on the field, which means we might, after two chapters, say, wow, this is the best book I've ever read. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, man, this thing sucked. How many times have you watched a movie, and if they stop the movie 15 minutes in, you'd be like, oh, this thing's great. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, it's trash. I hated the ending. Right? We don't have that luxury in sports when it comes to the product we see on the field. Our jobs in sports media is to talk about things every single day that they're happening. Our joy as fans is about talking about things every single day that they're happening. The question is, when are we, as a society, going to establish some level of guidelines on how we approach the things that aren't just about what's happening on the field? When are we as a society going to decide that we're not going to approach everything like we know everything, because we don't have to? All we had to do when everything broke with Shohei was say, this is worth keeping an eye on, and as we get more information, we will let you know what we find out. It's what we should have done. It's what we didn't do. And now, because so many people made up their mind, and because as a society, we don't like to say, whoops, my bad. As a society, we've already decided innocence or guilt, and there's not a fact that we'll let get in the way of that. It's unfortunate. Because the one thing I know is I'll always stand up and say, man, I was wrong about that. I do it about my takes. I do it when I analyze people the wrong way. I do it in my personal life. And I do it in front of a microphone. Maybe we could do it a little less if we took this Dodgers example as one more reason that the best thing we can do is hold off on the sweeping generalized statements until we get all the information. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jason Fitz filling in. All right, we're going to get to some of this draft talk because you've heard a ton of it. And I'm telling you, there is one rumor happening around the NFL draft right now that is absolutely mind-blowing that you should not take any weight to. We'll tell you about it next on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe,
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, the TireRack.com studios, coming at you live. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Doug. We'll get to Tom Brady in a little bit. I don't want to cram that conversation in here and not give it the justice. I'm just saying, everybody get ready to roll your eyes a bunch. In the meantime, I'm still rolling my eyes. Monsi brought it up a minute ago. I want to bring everybody in on this. Shea, I was saying, we've got a crossover statue at this point of Allen Iverson. The first part of this to me is like, you got to ask yourself, what's the point of a statue, right? Like, because to me, the point of a statue is I want to make sure that every generation of fan that ever walks in to this arena or around this stadium or around this team is going to know who this person was and why it's significant, right? Like, there's a moment in the stadium for my beloved Raiders, in Allegiant Stadium. They've got the eternal flame at the end of it that signifies Al Davis. Well, it's huge. It's massive. Anybody that comes to the stadium for the first time, at the bottom of it, there's a whole statement about it. If, you know, we're going to reach a generation someday where fans don't remember who Al Davis was, it's a great way. Like, I understand why they do that. It makes a statement, and it lets future generations of fans understand the impact prior players or people in power had. I don't understand what you're doing with a, like, Heisman-sized crossover trophy, right? Like, Monty, tell me I'm wrong here, but more I look at it, the smaller it gets.
It's actually quite funny. In fact, Kerry Rhodes, who is a former NFL safety and fills in from time to time as a co-host here at FSR, he tweeted, AI statue is smaller than the charm he wears on his necklace. And it's so true. I mean, no, but yes, it's so small. Why? It does look like the size of a Heisman trophy. I mean, listen, I don't know. It's still an honor, but why?
Is it though? Like, is it like,
though?
I mean, the thing of it is like, though? A bad statue, what's worse? No statue or a bad statue? I don't know. Like,
well,
I mean,
hold on. I was going to say, what we've seen bad statues where they mess up the face and, you know, or like what was there? Was a
Ronaldo was the one.
There's been several others. But I think, I don't know if this was a cost issue or
then
maybe
don't do it.
They were just going with a different mindset of like, not all statues have to either be life size or larger than life. I don't have a problem with it so much. Yes, maybe it won't be noticed as much, but AI is one of the greatest players in 76ers history, but he never won an NBA title with them. He's memorable. No, listen, I'm coming from the Caitlin Clark camp, and so I don't think that that's always like, you're never one of the greatest of all time. He is one of the greatest Sixers of all time. I just think they went with a different mindset, a little different idea of, we're just going to make it a little smaller. It's going to be a little bit more personal. You can go up to it and look at it a little closer. That's just
they ran out of money.
I don't know.
They sent the drawings to like a Temu or Sheen or like Wish, and they're like, I need a statue. And they're like, no worries, we're going to have this one
in the mail for four to six weeks.
It's like, four to 6 weeks later, like, I did this once where, like, because, you know, I like huge Halloween displays and like Christmas displays. And one year I was like, okay, I saw this ad on some random website. You never go for the random website. And it was for like this, what looked like a massive Grinch that was like moved and like made all these noises. And it was wildly cheap. And I was like, I don't know why this is cheap, and I'm buying it. Turns out, you know, then there was much credit card fraud on that. And I eventually got this tiny, like, it didn't look like the Grinch. It looked like somebody had melted the Grinch. And like, it was a weird deformed thing that was like, I don't know, maybe 4 inches tall. Like, the picture made it look like it was 6 feet. Like, this is what I think happened. I think they ordered a regular size, normal statue. They got it, and they're like, well, nobody tell AI, and we'll just hope this thing works out. That's the only way I think this works.
I'm comparing it to the Rocky statue. Have you guys seen
that? It's huge.
Like, it's like, yeah, I'm looking at
a
it right
movie
now.
Character.
It's yeah, right.
A fictional, yeah.
But I mean, how much do you think that statue weighs? Like his statue, not Rocky's statue.
I don't know. What the hell does that matter?
Because think about this: when
somebody gonna steal it? I mean,
put it in your pocket. Yeah.
Because when Iverson played, he weighed 160. You know what I mean? So I think it has something to do with the weight, maybe. I don't know.
Okay,
like,
Shay.
Small guy.
I don't know what's more ridiculous. Masters being overrated or you thinking that this statue weighs 160 pounds because that's what AI weighed.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to make sense to it. You know what I mean?
I love the concept of the pitch meeting. And I'm just saying, if I'm sitting, if you're the artist and I'm sitting at the table at the pitch meeting and you walk in and you've got this tiny, 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 tiny little statue. And I'm like, I don't get it. It's so small. And then you look at me in this in a sales pitch way. You wink and you're like, but the statue weighs exactly as much as AI did when he played. If that's the thing that makes me say yes to tiny statue, I'm out. Like, I should be fired too.
When you put it that way. Yeah. I'm just honestly trying to make sense of it because...
Have you seen the video of him looking at his statue? He has to look down.
I'm double the size of his statue.
Right. Yeah. He's literally looking down at his own statue. He has to crouch a little bit.
The 76ers.
Listen, though, you could tell AI, it meant a lot to him. He was emotional after he watched it. So I think that's the most important thing is that he looks at that and he just feels the reverence coming from the organization. And he was all choked up. And to me, that's what's the most important is that he was just like, wow, I feel honored to be here today.
So let's say.
And let's just be honest, though. That shows you that AI is a former athlete that has done really well in life because I have this opinion that the more successful athletes, actors, musicians get, because everybody that's around them in some capacity is typically getting paid, nobody around them will actually say anything. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I love it, love it. You know full well, Iowa Sam, if all of us walked up and Fox Sports Radio was putting a statue of me outside, right? And it's like, finally, I have made it. I've got a statue of it would take you 30 seconds after the 15 seconds after the unveiling before you just started busting my chops like never before at a tiny statue. Like, if you are at the normal spot in life most of us are at and you're like, guys, come look. They've got this statue. And then it gets unveiled. And you realize that you really have to get, like, your phone out and zoom in on the picture to see the details on the eyes because it's too small. To get a picture of?
It's a glorified G.I. Joe.
I mean, you'd be mocking. There would be tons of mockery. I'd be mocked openly.
Hey, listen, as long as they get the face and the body right and don't pull a Ronaldo where it looks like a weird clay. Someone did some sculpting and it came out like they smudged the face or something. I think that's what's important. But yeah, it is kind of comically small. It's an oversized G.I. Joe, essentially.
So you're telling me also because he didn't win a championship that when eventually they put a Caitlin Clark statue in Iowa?
No, I really did.
Is that going to be a tiny one?
No.
Tiny Caitlin?
I think a tiny Caitlin right under Dan Gable, or who's right outside Carve Rock Arena. I think that'd be kind of cool. A tiny Caitlin would be all right with me.
There is not a chance in hell that you would look. If Caitlin Clark was standing in the room next to you, you'd look at her and be like, you know what you need? Tiny statue.
A tiny statue.
I think it's just a mindset. You know, you don't, it's you can have, they don't always have to be the same. It's 6 feet, which is Caitlin Clark. It doesn't have to be, 12 feet. I'm just saying. It's a different approach here.
I would implore everybody, go look at the social media pictures of the statue. Like I said earlier, it looks like somebody went to Funko Pop and said, can you make me a Funko of a statue of an NBA player? And that's what we got. Super collectible. Looks super collectible. Just doesn't necessarily have the awe, especially in a city that decided, and Anthony Gargano will crush me for saying this, but my co-host on The Fellas on Saturday morning. You gave a fictional movie character a life-size massive statue, and that's what you gave an actual human being. All right, we'll get back to sports. We're going to give you the latest and greatest news from the Dodgers and everything with Shohei. You'll be surprised by the latest development. We'll tell you about it next.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.